Hey there, I'm Wendy Vaughn, sales success coach. Now, they call me the queen of predictable sales results. Well, because the easy formulas I share create sustainable, predictable results for my clients. And I am so glad that you've tuned in to today's episode of the Selling Made Easy Show, because this show is all about inspiration, not just in demystifying the client getting process known as sales, but also in peering through the lens of guest entrepreneurs who are blazing their own trails. And those trails have probably included a few unexpected roadblocks, maybe even having to overcome fears or blocks about selling. Now, I believe everyone has their zone of genius, their superpower that's a gift to others, including you. Now, for me, after 22 years of outperforming my peers in sales results, well, it's almost an X-ray vision that I have when it comes to finding and fixing any sales blind spots within entrepreneurs that are unknowingly causing clients to slip away. And with today's guest, his zone of genius is his ability to help business people connect with their why and live their purpose. So I am super excited to introduce Tom Harrison. Now, as a lifelong entrepreneur engaged in ecologically responsible business for the last three decades, Tom is a business awakener. Now, he's especially adept at working with earth-loving, distraction-prone professionals and entrepreneurs who know they're being called to make meaningful change in the world, but they keep getting in their own way, falling asleep at the wheel of the life they wish was driven by their why. Now, Tom inspires these aspiring agents of change to explore, create, or regenerate their own change-maker business, empowering them to transform wasteful distraction associated with unfulfilling work into the purposeful focus of a serious change maker. Well, welcome, Tom. I am so excited to have you as my guest today.
Thank you so much, Wendy. I'm excited to be here. I love helping people make the change they want to make in the world.
Yeah. And, you know, I just love how you're helping professionals and entrepreneurs wake up to their why and proactively become the change in today's world. I can't wait to hear more about this and the work you're now doing.
Thank you. And I love you that you use the word proactive. That is so core to the work that I do.
Yeah. That I kind of was, you know, hearing that when I was introducing you, that's a big component. So, and, you know, Tom, exactly what was the inspiration or tipping point that prompted you to start your own business?
So I should start by saying that I've basically been in business all my life. Okay. So the initial inspiration of entrepreneurship came from growing up in my dad's business. So that the seeds were planted there. And like many kids, I had a variety of enterprises growing up.
The lemonade stand and things like that. The lemonade stand and things like that.
The paper boy, the lawn care. I had a sold miracle cloths, which were amazing. Oh my God, I should get back into that. Greeting cards, cartoon greeting cards. So yeah, I was into all kinds of things.
A whole myriad. Yeah, great. Okay.
Then I'd say there was maybe a more clear tipping point. How old was I then? I guess I was right around 30 years old, early 30s, when I had left Virginia, where I grew up, came to California, and I came across something called ecological building, which was completely new to me. I grew up in the construction business, so I was very familiar with construction. But this concept of ecological building was fascinating to me. And so I dove into that and then had this, for lack of a better term, and it still sounds a little silly to me now, but it's just real, kind of a spiritual download. I had this download that communicated to me that I needed to work in the realms of ecology, compassion, and oneness.
Interesting.
And so I had to take that and basically put it with the only thing I really knew in an intimate way, which was construction in that world.
Right.
So that's how kind of I got going on my entrepreneurship in a real, real way.
Interesting. Wow. Yeah, that's great. So that was after you had been kind of immersed in the construction world and probably on a career pathway there. And then you received this, for lack of a better word, just a powerful download that provided some inspiration and clarity for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so, you know, not wanting to do the math here, but how long have you had your own coaching practice, and has your business mission or vision evolved during that time?
Absolutely. As I said before, I've been an entrepreneur for a long time.
Right.
But a coach much more recently.
Yeah.
And the coaching in many ways kind of flowed out of the work I was doing as like an eco designer. I won't go into that too much, but I had a construction related interior design business that oftentimes put me with clients where I was in, I didn't frame it this way at the time, but I was in kind of a coaching or consulting counseling position where I'm helping people work through their challenges. Right. Mm-hmm. And again, I didn't identify it that way then, but over the years, people would say things like, gosh, Tom, are you a psychologist, or did you used to do this, or were you a coach or something? And I remember that just kind of like making me wonder, why are they asking me this? Right? So after a while, it became more and more clear to me that I was actually helping people with issues beyond what I was trying to accomplish, which was just getting the work done, getting the design done, getting wow. right, moving on with the project.
Yeah.
And so eventually this kind of began to gel as coaching. And I think really what called me into coaching specifically was I heard about a particular coach that I've ended up just really, who really resonated with me. Their messaging resonated with me, and it kind of made me connect the dots back to that work I'd been doing.
Right. Okay. So you finally stepped into what other people were seeing of you, this role of being a coach. Wow. That's fantastic. So now you got to connect a few more dots here though. So this was within the interior design business that you started, stepping into this coaching role, but how do we jump from there to the work that you're now doing as helping people create their own change maker business? Because that for me still is a bit of a gap.
Yeah. 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 Quite a gap. So as you can imagine, when I had that kind of awakening, you might call it, to this notion that I needed to work in the realms of ecology, compassion, and oneness, that kind of hit me like, well, the ecology part made sense because I just learned about ecological building, and I was, you know, in the process of taking that in, and it was absolutely fascinating to me, super refreshing, because I grew up in a realm where if the word ecology was ever used, it was used in the derogatory. So just to kind of give you an idea of kind of the upbringing versus the world I was living in,
right?
At this point,
right?
So basically, what happened in a nutshell is ecology was okay. Well, that's cool. That's I've learned about ecological building. I really love it. It resonates with me. So that'll kind of inform the kind of work I do and the materials I use and the approach I take. Compassion. Hey, that's a great model for customer service. So hey, I'll have compassionate customer service. And this oneness idea, honestly, I had to grapple with for a while. I didn't really, you know, the best I could come up with at the time was, oh, it's about, of course, serving everyone, you know, and caring for everyone. But I was just a babe in terms of my understanding of that at the time. So all of this, looking back on it, were elements of my purpose, of my why. Mm-hmm. And it became more and more clear over the years in various ways, including what I was sharing about people, you know, making these comments and that, you know, that I was actually helping them in a counseling kind of way and coaching kind of way, beyond the design work we were doing together. It started to add up in my mind as, okay, there's something more to this, right? And it doesn't necessarily need to express itself in this interior design realm, right? In fact, it was looking for another outlet. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, so that hopefully that connects the dots a little bit better. So there was a part of me knowing that I needed to, there was something more for me to do. And there was something deeper to my purpose. And I think, to be perfectly honest, when I had that, and I don't know if it's okay to mention the name, you've probably heard the guy, because it's okay to say someone else's name of a guy named Derek Rydell. I don't know if you've heard of him, but he's you could call him a, I don't know, spiritual coach. He's very successful. Mm-hmm. But I heard his voice on a radio show one day, and it just resonated. And it just kind of, like I said, it just kind of like, oh, wow, that's something I could do, right? That makes sense with this feedback I'm getting and with this download I had years ago and just kind of the developments that have come out of it. I could actually create a coaching practice. It doesn't have to be, okay, now how do I come at my interior design jobs from the perspective as a coach? Because I actually started getting kind of confused, because when I started feeling into this calling to step into coaching before I had framed it as coaching, I was trying too hard, I think, to bring it into my work as a designer. And I think it's kind of taking me off track, to be honest.
Right. Yeah. That makes sense. It does take a while to kind of align, especially this big shift that you actually started going on this different path because of this added clarity that you received. So yeah, that makes perfect sense that it takes a while to kind of congeal everything. Well, have there been any big roadblocks that you've had to overcome along the way in building your coaching practice?
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
I know you've been over the entrepreneurial span of quite a journey, you know, of various different renditions, but in specific to your recent work here. Yeah. If you could share any of the major roadblocks that you've had to overcome, that would be probably insightful and inspirational, my guess.
Yeah. No, I think a lot, and I appreciate that, because yeah, there's plenty of roadblocks leading up to the coaching, which you could probably see in just the way I articulated that, just kind of that journey of understanding what am I here for? But then once it kind of became more clear, one of the big things for me, and I know there's others out there, because I have clients like this, where we are holding more than one thing, right? I mean, part of the, oftentimes when we think of the idea or the concept of entrepreneurship, we think of people who actually hold multiple businesses, right? Mm-hmm. At any given time. Now, it could mean that you create a business and you spin it off, and you create another business and spin it off. And I think there's a part of me that wishes I was more like that and have been maybe trying to be more like that. Mm-hmm. Because one of the biggest challenges has been coming into the coaching and effectively handling the business I've had for so long, right? Because for a long time, I kept trying to merge them. Like I was suggesting before, how do I fit this more in? Now that I'm getting more clarity, how do I fit this into the design work? Mm-hmm. And like I said, I was trying too hard. It was one thing to just kind of organically show up as someone who's being a counselor and being open and listening and, more and more as I've thought about this, it really boils down to just listening, being in conversation, caring about my clients, right? I mean, something that really should apply to every business, right? In every relationship.
Right.
And it's just formalized in a sense as coaching. So that's been a big challenge. It's just kind of pulling, like literally pulling them apart and carrying more than one business at a time and not letting them get too convoluted.
Yeah.
Another big challenge, if you just look at just the coaching by itself, has been, but it's still related to what I just said, is just really believing, right? Fully believing that this is the appropriate expression of my purpose. Mm-hmm. You know, as I said before, I had that download, which, I mean, it sounds odd, but I'm sure people can relate, right? Where we have these, for whatever reason, something comes up in our life and we have this kind of awareness. Mm-hmm. And so I can't help but go back to that, right? And say, to what degree is that still informing my life? Mm-hmm. And so that's I think sometimes can be an inspiration, and also it can sometimes be a roadblock in the sense that, does that matter, right? To what extent do I need to reach back to my past to inform my path moving forward? Right. So I think that's always a challenge, is to what extent are we letting our past impact our future?
Yeah, exactly.
Our current moment.
It is tricky to sometimes be looking for the creative next step versus wondering, am I on the right path?
Or just iterating or continuing to iterate.
And holding yourself back. Well, what have you done to overcome this roadblock or this challenge of just gaining this clarity and this forward moving direction?
So this is it's this question actually that led me to really anchoring in the work that I do, that I call my work Walk Your Why, which is just another way of saying live your purpose.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And because that's really what it came back to, is, okay, so what really is my purpose? Why do I believe I'm here now? And I started to realize that we all have purpose. whether you think you do or not, right? We're doing something. Everything we do is for some reason, whether we've thought that reason through or not. Mm-hmm. And it started me making me realize that I have kind of a core purpose that I'm coming from that does reach back, you know, spans my whole life and shows up in different ways. Okay. And I have a, I call that my core why. I often have what I call my what why, which is it, what am I doing? Right. At this time, what am I doing right now?
Right.
And why am I doing it? You know, and sometimes we catch ourselves like, oh, I have no idea why I'm doing this. Let me stop.
Those are good questions. Definitely.
Right. And then I have what I call my now why, which is like, okay, right in this moment, what am I doing? Okay. Now I can, let me just make an adjustment if I need to, or affirm it or whatever. And I say that. So that's what I do. It's, there's a different practices I use to do that, but essentially it boils down to that. It's coming back to the why. Mm-hmm. Why am I doing this?
Right.
Okay, good. Or that's not right. Let's change this.
Yeah. It's like the guideposts or the guardrails. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. I love that. Well, Tom, you know, you're obviously an expert here at helping others reimagine their work and their business and reconnect with their why so that it's meaningful and fulfilling work, which makes a big impact. But I'm curious, how do you feel about the client enrollment or sales part of being in business? This is a very different skill set. Do you have any challenges or frustrations with this important part of growing a successful business?
Of course. So, it's like any business thing, right? This is at the core of business, right? Yeah. If you don't have a sale, you don't have a business.
That's right.
So for me, I actually came to love enrollment. And I like to call it the client conversation.
Right.
Because and that was when I came to love it. It's when I realized, wait a minute, this is just, it's a conversation. And to take it a step further, I call it a conversational invitation. Right. So for me, think framing it that way is inviting someone into conversation, and the conversation itself being an invitation to possibly work together. Right. Like, are we a good fit for each other? You know, so what that presumes, though, of course, that kind of conversation presumes that you're in conversation with someone who actually appreciates that conversation. Right. Who wants to be in that conversation, who from the beginning came to that conversation because they know it's an invitation to work together. And so it's all congruent. It's honest from the beginning. There's no like, oh, let's talk about this. And at the end of the call, let me enroll you into this.
Right.
It's congruent. And so what that leads to is that means I need people showing up on the call to the conversation who are kind of the ideal client, right?
Yeah.
Just as I want to be ideal for them, I need the ideal client to show up. And so that's probably the biggest challenge is right there, is having the right people show up. What I have learned about marketing and sales is it can be pretty easy to get a lot of people to come to the door, mm-hmm. but I don't want a lot of people to come to the door. I want people who want to talk to me come to the door.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Well, I'd be happy to provide a little insight around that if you'd like.
I would love it.
So it's interesting. I love your reflection on the enrollment conversation as being a client conversation, and it's simply a conversation. And that's very true. I'd like to plus that one little bit, though, in that the way I like to help people kind of shift their paradigm around that is that it's actually a journey. You know, it's more of a leadership role than just a casual conversation, because you have a starting place and you have an ending place, which ends with this invitation, right? And so mm-hmm. I like to frame it in terms of a prospect to client journey. They start out at one place, and it usually includes a little bit of resistance and unknowns, and then they end up clear, confident, and excited to make that commitment to work with you. And so there are key elements that need to occur during that conversation that help lead people through that journey. But I think your question specifically is around how to attract those ideal prospective clients, the clients that really are open to your perspective and your philosophy, and that really do want to step into more meaningful work And so it's interesting, and I'm sure that all our listeners can relate. You know, social media is a wonderful thing, right? It puts at our fingertips millions of people. But just like you said, you know, I don't want thousands of people coming in my door that are not aligned with my message and aren't willing and interested in taking action steps. So the way to really create a system that is efficient and brings you the ideal types of people that you want to work with is your messaging, right? And this rolls right into the sales messaging as well, but because there has to be a sales strategy behind your marketing in order to create that next step call to action where they want to take the action step. They'll click on a link to grab a checklist or 5 simple moves or something like this, or they'll take an action step to schedule a call with you to have a deeper conversation. So there's always behind the marketing, behind your message is a sales strategy that leads them again from maybe a cold prospect or somebody just that you happen to, you know, have your information appear in front of to actually gaining the attention of the right person that wants to have a meaningful conversation. So really the key is to spend the time to clearly profile who your ideal client really is and what are their top of mind challenges. They're unique to them, this profile. The more specific you can get, the more specific your message can be. And it's interesting because my son, who is he's only 19, but he has the wisdom and presence of a mid-20-year-old. He's a professional fly fishing guide.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, he just loves life and he loves what he does. And he's one of the top guides in Steamboat Springs, where he lives, Steamboat Springs, Colorado. And, you know, he's very humble about it. And I asked him one day, I said, you know, what is it about what you do that makes you so good? I mean, how can you be so much more better, you know, so much more effective, correct my English, so much more effective at being a guide than somebody who's twice your senior? Mm-hmm. He said, I don't really know, Mom. He said, but the thing is, it's really important to keep in mind is you've got to know where the type of fish you want to catch are hanging out in the river. And you've got to know what they're hungry for. And then you've got to put that in front of them. So his words of wisdom, I was thinking about that. I'm like, gosh, that's pretty much marketing. You've got to know where the type of fish that you want to catch are hanging out and what they're really hungry for, meaning what problem do they really want to have solved, and put that in front of them. So that's really the sales and marketing piece, very simplified. So
I love that. It's interesting. It actually relates to my thinking in the sense that, you know, I think of a river like that. What's not going to happen is you're not going to catch whales, dolphins. You know, there's a very limited pool in a sense, right?
Exactly.
And that's my thinking. All of my entire business career up until the coaching, it was all word of mouth. It was all right. A river that I could identify, right? I could, I could actually go into that river. I could even, the water was clear enough that I could see the fish. I was like, oh yeah, that's the fish I want. And that's the fish
were brought to you, cause that's referred, right? You know, like, oh, I know who you need to talk to. You need to talk to Tom, and then boom, the fish is there.
Exactly. Yeah. And so really, I think we were at a conversation earlier. I was talking about the fact that, you know, if I had my way, I wouldn't use social media at all. But yeah, so that's really where the rub is for me is, yeah, that's really where it is. It's like, and actually there's a part of me that's, hey, you know what? I love this story you're sharing, Wendy, because there's a part of me, honestly, that is like, you know, maybe in a very real way, I can do a better job leveraging offline pools, rivers, streams, right, as it were, right?
Yeah, exactly.
A little more challenging during COVID, but at the same time, I don't want to let social media be a barrier. And I will say that some of the clients I just absolutely love and probably would not have met using the analogy we were just talking about are some of these global, you know, people who are all around the globe. who, were it not for an online presence, and connection, may not have happened.
Right. Oh, I know. I agree. Yeah, that's great. Well, good. Well, hopefully that's provided you with a little bit of a different viewpoint. And again, just really dial in exactly who your ideal prospective client is and what their top of mind challenges are, and put that, what they're hungry for, right in front of them.
You know, it makes me realize there's definitely some places that I can look more specifically. I think that's definitely something I have not been doing as much as I could have, is being more clear where I'm looking, right? I've been using social media as if, just putting it out there. And a big thing I'm hearing is that, there are rivers, in a sense, that exist on social media, and just tapping into those particular groups, those areas where I'm more apt to meet the people I'm best suited to serve.
Yep.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
That is exactly right. Good. Excellent. And, Tom, we are, I think you mentioned the COVID pandemic, how it's had an impact. Well, before I could do this, now I can't. Well, I'm just curious, has the pandemic had any impact on the work you do? Has it provided any wake-up calls for people that might have been kind of asleep at the wheel, like you said?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think more than anything with this era, people have been stressed probably more than ever. They've been distracted in many ways. Now they're, before they were just, when they could get online, they would distract themselves. Now they're online all the time. Mm-hmm. So it can be 100% distraction for some people. Yeah. So that's been a huge thing, especially distraction as a coping mechanism for the stress, right?
Right.
I think we can all appreciate that. So yeah, in a very real way, I think my work is, has been needed more than ever in this time. And so it's been a wonderful opportunity to just feel into that, right? And just appreciate what I'm doing and know that I can actually help people in this time. Here's the reality. A lot of the people I've talked to now, they're in a place where, because of the financial challenges at the moment, that's why, of course, they're starting a job, a business. They may not have been thinking about it before. Mm-hmm. They have the added challenge of not necessarily having the income to do it. So I get that. I'm happy to have conversations with people who are just trying to figure it out, right? Trying to explore, should I get into business? What should I do? Is this right for me? So I really appreciate the struggles that people are having in this time and how they're highlighted by COVID. Yeah, I'm just happy to be here and be able to hopefully be a bridge for many of those people into kind of this question, am I ready to start a business? And I like to call it a change maker business, because that's really what I'm all about. There's plenty of resources out there for businesses, but if you want to have a business that makes a meaningful difference in the world, that's kind of the starting point of our conversation.
Right. Yeah. Well, so Tom, how do you work with professionals and entrepreneurs who want to finally connect with their why and create that meaningful work that brings fulfillment? Can you share a little bit about your philosophy and your approach?
Absolutely. So my philosophy is built into the name, walk your why. I have a firm belief that's been in my own life proven over and over and over, that when I come back to purpose, when I come back to my why, even if I'm not super clear about it, right? And that's really important. So even if I'm not super clear at any moment about it, just coming back to the concept of purpose can make all the difference in the world. And to the extent that my work relates to, as you mentioned in the beginning, earth-loving, right? As a earth-loving, distraction-prone professionals and entrepreneurs.
Right.
So that is kind of, that helps people see that, okay, yes, I want to make a difference in the world. Right? I want to make a real difference in the world. And I tend to get distracted, right? So those people I can help, particularly because that's been my experience, right? I've always wanted to, as long as I've been aware of it, that there were problems in the world, I've always wanted to be someone who could make a difference in those. And I've built my businesses in that, from that perspective. And I've always been someone who's easily distracted and very creatively distracted, right? I can, if there's not something to distract me, I'll create it, right? So I have intimate knowledge about these areas and a lot of really powerful ways to get through it. So that's kind of overall, that's how I approach it, coming from the why. There's the part of walking your why, like it's a metaphor for living on purpose, but there's also a literal aspect to it. There's a, the reality that movement is so critical, embodiment is so critical to living on purpose. And so and the idea that walking is it's not something we usually do really fast. And this is not about speed walking. It is about, you know, walking through life, enjoying the journey and appreciating that it takes time to really make meaningful change. And that leads me to the way that I work with people specifically, which is one-on-one, because I believe that virtually all of us need a guide at some point in our lives, right? Whether it's, and it can be a friend, it can be a family member. And at any given time, a friend might be the right person, a family member might be the right person. And when it comes to business, oftentimes we need it to be not the family member, not the friend, and rather someone with experience who can get us and understands where we're coming from and understands our challenges and understands that it's more important to us to make meaning in the world, perhaps even than making money. And we've got to make the money. Many of us have had the experience growing up when we basically get the message early on that being creative or, you know, doing what we really love is not valuable, but making money is. And, you know, and we've struggled, many of us have struggled for years, if not decades, with that mentality. And maybe we made a lot of money in our lives, but we didn't find the meaning. And so what I want to help people do is realize that they can, in fact, coexist. And ultimately, my belief is they must coexist if we really want to live a satisfying life.
Right. Yeah. No, that is really important and possible. And obviously when it is meaningful, fulfilling work and it's creating our lifestyle, then, you know, that's when life becomes very fulfilling. So yeah, that's fantastic. Well, how can listeners reach you if they're interested in learning more about working with you?
I think the best way is to simply go to the website, walkyourwhy.com. And it'll be very clear from the beginning that itself, the website itself, is an invitation into working together. And it'll give you an opportunity. So if you follow the page, it'll give you an opportunity to have a conversation.
Oh, nice. Okay, perfect. So that's walkyourwhy, WHY.com, correct?
Exactly.
All right, fantastic. And I'm assuming we can also find you on social media.
Yeah, you can find me there. I'll be honest, I'm not, going back to what we talked about before,
not
I'm
prolific. Not I can relate.
The most visible.
Okay, no, that's fine. Fair enough. All right, so that's walkyourwhy.com. Well, Tom, you've already shared so many golden nuggets of wisdom, and really, you're walking your talk, you know, and taking us through your own journey and realigning with your why and that important download that you received many, many years ago and how you've been acting upon that. But if I could tap on you one last time here during our conversation, in looking at your own experience in building your businesses, I'm going to say it plurally because you have, like you said, decades of entrepreneurial experience. What's some advice that you can share with a frustrated entrepreneur who's questioning their decision to have started their own business, or maybe they're doubting their ability to succeed?
Well, I've said it numerous times on this call.
Yeah.
Why?
The why?
We don't always want to hear the answer.
I knew you were going to say that.
and I'll be honest, you know, hey, we don't always want to. Sometimes we actually avoid that question because we don't want to hear the answer, right? Because we know, maybe we'll start. Maybe it wasn't the right reason. But the beauty of it is, if we ask that, if we're honest about that, and we ask, okay, I'm frustrated with my business. Well, there's the obvious thing. Why am I frustrated? Which, unfortunately, a lot of people don't even ask that question. But then more deeply, why this business? Because I believe the truth is, if we're not taking a stand for our business, then something's not right. And it's better to catch it in the moment and get real about it and begin to create a plan for what's next, whether that is, okay, yes, this is the business I want right now, and here's how I'm going to take it forward. Or, oh, you know what? Not the wisest idea to get in this business. How do I unwind it? Because I've been in both places, and I promise you, the sooner you come to that realization, whichever direction it's taking you, the better. That's for sure.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's great. And I love the different layers of that. You know, okay, why am I frustrated? You know, maybe it's because you're not getting enough clients. Maybe it's because you're not feeling effective with your marketing, you know, versus just the bigger why of why am I in this business? So yeah, I love taking it maybe layer by layer. So that's great. That is powerful. Well, Tom, it's just been so great hearing about your journey from your early work in the construction industry to this impactful work you're now doing, inspiring agents of change to explore, create, and regenerate their own changemaker businesses, and empowering them to transform those wasteful distractions associated with unfulfilling work into the purposeful focus of a serious changemaker. I've really enjoyed our conversation. I want to thank you so much for being a guest on my show today.
Thank you, Wendy. It's been a joy. I really appreciate you.
Yeah. And again, you can reach Tom Harrison at at Walk Your Why. I was just going to say at why.com. I feel like that's the message.
I've tried. I couldn't get that one.
Do you have that URL? No. No, it's walkyourwhy.com. And be sure to grab some time with Tom. I think he's got some great insights. So, and for all our listeners, remember, when it comes to building a business that brings you joy and has an endless flow of high-paying clients, well, don't overlook the power of the optimized sales conversation, where you've triggered all four psychological states needed for your prospective clients to feel confident and excited about saying, yeah, this sounds great. What's next? So are you 100% confident that your sales conversations are optimized? Well, if you're curious, reach out to me and apply for a sales blind spot coaching session. You may be surprised by what we discover. All right. Well, this is Wendy Vaughn, Chief Paradigm Shifter and Sales Success Coach. And you can find me and our next podcast episode at predictablesalesresults.com. All right. Well, thank you for tuning in to today's episode with Tom Harrison. And as always, here's to your success.